Can we go back to social distancing? When I'm in line at the Piggly Wiggly, back up off me. You'll still be next. Oh, comparison group. What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? How are we going to save this country from itself? We got to either pick Donald Trump, who falls asleep in court, or Joe Biden, who just falls. Thanks for joining me. Today is April 20th, 2024. Ooh, Saturday. Saturday, the worst day of the week to release a podcast episode. That's why you need to go and follow me. Follow me on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. The episodes will come to you for free. You don't have to wonder, when's he going to release another episode? Whenever you see one go up. If you follow, that's when. Easy peasy greasy. Oh, but this episode. How stupid are we? Do you want me to just cut right to the chase? Get right to it? Don't beat around the bush? Answer the question, how stupid are we? Okay. Not as stupid as you might think, but way more stupid than we need to be. That's the answer. Not as stupid as you think, because when it comes to politics, everyone thinks everyone else is stupid, but some are not. Some are just well-meaning and misguided. But also, when it comes to politics, we are way more stupid than we need to be. Let's just listen to a couple of clips for illustrative purposes. First, Sheila Jackson Lee, member of Congress from Texas's 18th District, Yale graduate from the University of Virginia Law School. So, no question, an intelligent woman. Let's listen.
And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat. It is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable.
What in the heck? Excuse my language. I know this out of context, but what context could I put that in that would make sense? The moon is made of gases. Since when? What in the heck is going on? The sun is a mighty powerful heat? Well, I guess that's accurate. A bit of an understatement, but I guess it's accurate. Listen to this one. This is from The View talk show, Sunny Hostin, one of the women on The View. Listen to this one.
Also, I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love for the first time in
cicada,
like
cicada.
Two different kinds of cicadas are coming.
The good cicadas types, and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, maybe you know better.
In a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, either climate change exists.
She is determined. She's determined to tell them what she read somewhere. Who knows where? Who knows what she read that appears to have informed her the cicadas, not the cicadas, are coming for the first time in like 100 years. And it might have something to do with climate change. if you listen closely, because they're talking over one another, they're trying to stop her from making a you-know-what out of herself. She says, it seems like, you know, first time in 100 years. And then she says many years and, you know, climate change. What's going on? Educated woman. I have no doubt she's an educated, smart woman. What's going on? One more. You'll recognize this guy. Oh, maybe you will. Maybe you won't. Listen to this.
I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community. I had a very close relationship with the Greek American community, for real. I am Joe Bidenopoulos. I grew up in a heavily Irish Catholic community in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and a heavily Italian Polish community.
When I say I got raised in the black church, he knows I'm not kidding.
The Persian culture is amazing. As a student of the Persian culture, I probably went to shul more than many of you.
I come out of the black community.
The background of my family is Irish American. Not fundamentally unlike the Palestinian people.
I, you might say, raised in the synagogue in my state.
Everybody in town was either Polish or Italian. I grew up feeling self-conscious. My name didn't end in an SKI.
I was raised in a neighborhood where I felt self-conscious, my name didn't end in O.
That's kind of how I was raised, like so many Americans of Irish heritage.
Maybe I let that go for too long, but I want to make sure you got the point. How many different communities can you consider yourself, quote unquote, part of? How many different times can you be raised? I mean, he was raised in every community, the black community, the Irish community, Italian community, Jewish community, Persian community. He was raised in every community. According to him, and those clips are all of people who probably would be considered liberal. I would assume Sonny Hostin's considered a liberal. Sheila Jackson Lee, a Democrat, Joe Biden, a Democrat. But I could very easily do the same thing for conservatives. Very easily. If I started playing clips of conservatives sounding silly, we'd be here all day. Be here all day. But the point is, thank you to the Dan Bongino Show, which... If some people listen to Dan Bongino Show, they'll go, oh, my God, what are you doing listening to that show? Yeah, I listen to it. But those three clips came from three different episodes, back to back to back, from his podcast, from the Dan Bongino Show. So I play them to illustrate this is why one side doesn't just see the other side as stupid. Both sides see the other side as stupid and silly sometimes. That's the problem. If you think it's just one side, maybe the side that you're listening to, playing all different kinds of clips to illustrate how stupid or silly the other side is, it's not. It's both sides. And there's plenty of stuff out there to play. And so if we accept that, that it's both sides and there's plenty of stuff out there to play, what do those clips really illustrate? Number one, even smart, well-meaning, educated people can sound stupid sometimes. Number two, sometimes just shut up if you don't know what you're talking about. Just shut up. And number three, just admit it. Even the politicians you love are full of it sometimes. Just accept it. Whether it's Biden or Trump or Bernie or Alexandria, I own zero shares of Trump stock, Ocasio-Cortez. Sometimes they're just full of it. We are all not insanely stupid, not all of us, but we make ourselves seem stupid sometimes when we act like if someone is on TV or has a bunch of followers on social media or has an important sounding job, well, they must know everything. They seem really smart, so they must know everything. Obviously, no one knows everything, and some people don't even know what they should know. We make ourselves seem stupid when we can't just shut up and listen. And I recognize it's really hard sometimes. It's really hard sometimes when it comes to politics to shut up and listen, especially when maybe you're all fired up and you want to really make your point, or the person you're talking to is just hitting the same talking points over and over and over, so you want to interrupt them. But if we listen more, even to people we think are stupid, we may get smarter. You hear what I'm saying? Even if you listen to people you think are stupid, you may get smarter, at least from the standpoint of understanding. Understanding. We got to get it out of our heads we're listening so we can agree, or we're listening to counter what that person said and change their minds. We got to get away from that way of thinking. No, we're listening for better understanding, so we get smarter. That's why you listen to people that you disagree with, sometimes even people you might think are stupid, so you get smarter. You don't get smarter by listening to people tell you what you already know. There's a reason why there's a progression in school. You don't just do the first grade over and over and over and over and over again. There's a reason why there's a progression and you learn different stuff to get smarter. So what sense does it make just hearing the same thing told to you over and over and over again that you already know, that you already agree with? It's stupid to do that. And sure, after you listen to someone for a while and you go, oh my goodness, this person is a complete nut job. Okay, then stop listening. Then stop listening. Then stop talking to them. But just make sure it's not because you can't counter their argument. It's not that they're wrong that you think they're a nut job. It's just because you don't know how to answer their argument. Just make sure it's not that. That's all. Have a little humility to admit that. And then again, that's how you learn, by having humility. And lastly, let's stop making ourselves stupid by acting like our political leaders, celebrities, media personalities that we like walk on water. They don't. They all have an agenda. Well, not Taylor Swift. Yeah, even Taylor Swift. If she didn't, she'd be doing concerts for free and living in the woods. But she ain't. Everyone's got some sort of agenda, for better or worse. So don't try and sell me on Joe Biden as this once-in-a-lifetime perfect politician that has accomplished a historic, unimaginable transformation of this country against all odds. That sounds stupid to me. Maybe not to others, but to me, and I'm betting a lot of other people out there in this country, that sounds stupid. Just sell me on what I'm trying to buy. He's slightly better than the other guy. Slightly better? Oh, how dare you? How can you say Biden is slightly better than See, there you go. There you go. Let me have my opinion. I said I'm going with Joe, so be happy with that. I don't have to see him the way you do. I don't have to see Trump the way you do. Let me have my opinion. I don't have to see either man the way you do. I don't have to see Joe Biden the way you do, as if his age is a great asset. Let me ask you a question. Was Joe Biden born before or after electricity? Now, I assume, as always, this audience is smarter than the average audience, but there might be some people out there going, Biden, he had to be born after Ben Franklin was out there with that kite, right? He had to have been. Now, that's a joke. Please do not comment to me. You know, that's not how electricity was really invented. Yeah, I know. I know. It's a joke. But we know our 32nd president, right? Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. Do you know how old FDR was when he was elected president? 51. 51 years old. We picture FDR as an old, sickly man, and he had his issues, of course, and he died in office at the age of 63. 63! And I'm not saying getting the country out of the Great Depression and getting us through World War II killed him, but it sure probably didn't help. It couldn't have helped. So given the challenges the world faces today, let people have the slightest bit concern about Biden's age and Trump's age for that matter. But let's apply this to some news. Let's apply the shut up and listen, not me. I got to keep talking or the show gets boring. But let's apply this and let's see if we can get better informed together. All right. Israel, Hamas, and Iran. I've not talked about this on this podcast. I did one episode after October 7th, after the attack by Hamas, and that's pretty much it. I did an episode where I gave some opinions, and then I haven't really talked about it because I don't know anything. That's why. I don't know anything. So shut up when you don't know anything. I mean, you can certainly discuss and tell people how you feel and talk about what's going on and give your opinions, but I mean, I don't know anything in terms of what to do, what the answer is, what the way forward is, what the outcome would be if we did this, or what the outcome would be if we did that. I don't know any of that stuff. And there's a bunch of people out there who don't know either, but they seem to want to keep on talking, keep on talking, keep on lecturing. You know, I would feel really weird sitting here in my bathrobe lecturing people on how to fight a war. I mean, we all grieve for any suffering of innocents, especially children. We all grieve when civilians or aid workers are killed. But I respectfully don't get people calling for this or calling for that or making demands for this or making demands for that. We got to have a ceasefire. Well, man, it would really help in a lot of cases. It would help the civilians, but it also helps the terrorists. It allows them to either escape or refortify, which does what? That prolongs the war, makes it tougher to defeat them. Well, you got to get the hostages back. Got to get the hostages back. Got to work harder to get the hostages back. How? How? I'm quite sure the terrorists know that the hostages may be the one thing standing between them and an all-out assault. It's their only bargaining chip, the hostages, so how do you get them back? Well, Biden needs to stop funding. Stop giving weapons to Israel. Stop it, Joe Biden. Okay, does that end the conflict immediately? No, it prolongs it, which once again leads to more suffering and civilian deaths. If the U.S. stops helping Israel, it's not like it's going to just end the war. And even Joe Biden saying Israel needs to negotiate a two-state solution. There needs to be a two-state solution. Negotiate with who? Negotiate with who? The people who say Israel can't exist? So there's not an easy answer. And just demanding an answer doesn't make it an easy answer. Doesn't make you come up with an easy answer. Same with Ukraine. No easy answer. What does victory look like there for us? What does it look like for Ukraine? Do we just keep funding and assume this is just going to be a war where whoever runs out of money or loses the will to fight first loses? I don't know. I honestly don't know, that which is why I don't talk about these topics all that much, so that I don't sound stupid. Talk less when you know little. Ooh, nobody steal that. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. Talk less when you know little. I like that. Next in the news, the economy, inflation, and interest rates. Now, it would appear recently things have changed a bit. Inflation has ticked back up, and it doesn't look like we're going to be getting any interest rate cuts anytime soon. So that ain't great for home buyers. It ain't great for people's 401k as Wall Street reacts to that news. And it's not great for the overall economy, which is still strong. It's still strong. Again, you know, I don't doubt that. But that inflation is a killer. It's just a killer. It might be time for us to consider the job numbers at this point. It might not be all that big a deal. It might be time to start to wonder, does hearing, 300,000 jobs added last month, doesn't have the impact that it once did? Because we've been adding jobs for so long now. It's kind of ho-hum news, the jobs report. Here's a clip sticking with the three things I talked about here. Sometimes the people we support just get it wrong, or sometimes even super smart people can be stupid sometimes or sound stupid. Listen to this.
Take inflation very seriously.
Economists call all these things transitory effects.
These one-time increases in prices are likely to have only transitory effects on inflation.
There will be transitory impacts as it relates to inflation.
I believe it's transitory.
A temporary or transitory impact.
In the end, it will be transitory.
These inflation rises will be transitory, that they will come back down next year. Inflation is going to come down next year. Inflation will come down next year.
Talk of inflation. The overwhelming consensus is going to pop up a little bit and then go back down.
People fully expect this inflation to be temporary.
There's nobody suggesting there's unchecked inflation on the way. No serious economist.
The president's Build Back Better agenda as a whole will ease some of that inflationary pressure.
The bipartisan infrastructure deal and Build Back Better agenda could likely ease inflationary pressures.
It will ease longer-term inflationary pressures.
We're going to ease inflationary pressure.
I don't think that these investments will drive up inflation at all.
No. It's from 2021. All those clips from 2021. Jerome Powell, Fed Chair. Janet Yellen, Secretary of Treasury. Pelosi, Biden, the White House Press Secretary. All the media, everyone. In 2021, it's going to be transitory. Our policies, Build Back Better, won't increase inflation. I got Nobel laureates say my plan reduces inflation. Remember that? He had the Nobel laureates. And I've done episodes. I got to mention to you because, again, it's not about my ego or trying to say, oh, I'm always right. I'm wrong way more than I'm right, way more. And I'm just guessing. I'm just using a little common sense to guess. But yes, back in 2021, when they were saying that, I was saying, what the heck are they talking about? Because it seemed so obvious to me. No, this inflation will not be temporary if you keep pumping money into the economy, which they were continuing to do and continue to do to this day. That's how you get inflation. You can't keep pumping money into the economy. And I've done the shows and I've played the clips from the shows that I did back in 2021 when all of these smart people were saying inflation was going to be temporary. It's okay. It's okay. I'll keep saying it. Maybe at some point it'll get through. It doesn't make you stupid to admit you're wrong or you were wrong or you saw it wrong. Now you have more information and you change your mind. That doesn't make you stupid. That makes you smart. And so it's time for a lot of us to stop trying to say, well, it's all because of Putin or it's all because of corporate greed or it's just certain things like gas and groceries or it's just certain things like gas, groceries and rent. And inflation is a myth to hurt Biden in the midterms. That's what we heard in 2022. Or inflation is actually a good thing because it shows there's demand out there. It's the supply chains. All the different things Democrats have tried to come up with. The 50-11 different causes for inflation except the main one. Monetary policy. Monetary policy. Interest rates too low for too long and way too much stimulus spending. It's time to just admit it, accept it, and move on. That's all. Oh, boy, we guessed wrong on that one. That's all. And to be fair, once again, no easy answer. If you jacked up the interest rates too high, too fast, well, we saw what happens. We saw some banks collapse because of interest rates. And so if the Fed overdid it, we would have had possibly more banks, bigger banks collapse. And as far as the stimulus, well, too much stimulus, but sure, what if there was too little stimulus? So I'll be fair if people will just be smart and accept we don't always get it right. It's okay to admit it, even when it's your side. Even when it's your side that doesn't get it right. That leads me to this student debt cancellation issue. Now, let me read to you from an article from the Brookings Institute. I always thought of Brookings as a left-leaning think tank, but some people seem to call him a centrist or even center-right think tank, so I don't know. It seems to depend on whatever someone's political background is, whether they think Brookings is left or center or right. Irregardless, it doesn't change what they said. I love doing that. I love saying irregardless. Because I can just feel all the nerds out there in the audience losing their minds, spitting out their coffee. Irregardless is not a word. Irregardless is not a word. Nerds lose their mind when they hear that word now. Irregardless is like the N-word for nerds. They hate it. Sorry. Anyway, from the article. Irregardless is not a word. Neither is law, but you use that word all the time. LOL. That's not a word. All right, sorry, from the article. Even modest student loan forgiveness proposals are staggeringly expensive and use federal spending that could advance other goals. The sums involved in loan forgiveness proposals under discussion would exceed cumulative spending on many of the nation's major anti-poverty programs over the last several decades. There are better ways to spend that money that would better achieve progressive goals. Increasing spending on more targeted policies would benefit families that are poorer, more disadvantaged, and more likely to be Black and Hispanic compared to those who stand to benefit from broad student loan forgiveness. Indeed, shoring up spending on other safety net programs would be far more effective way to help low-income people and people of color. So, the bottom line, it's really expensive. You've heard Joe Biden is canceling another such and such billion of debt. It's very expensive. Number one, the debt is not canceled, quote unquote canceled. It doesn't just go away. It's transferred to the nation's debt, to the U.S. debt, which means transferred to taxpayers. And it's not as targeted to helping the most needy people as other plans could be. Other than that, it's great. And that's just the opinion of people who aren't against helping struggling people. They just don't think this is the best way to do it. And I tend to agree with that. That article, I always try and stay away from opinion articles. And when I first read it, I said, okay, it doesn't say it's an opinion. It said it was commentary. So I guess you could say it was kind of an opinion from the Brookings Institute. But at the same time, like I said, it's not saying don't help people. It's just questioning, is this the best way to go about doing it with all of this student loan, again, quote unquote, cancellation? People still got to pay it. Maybe even some of the people who are having their debt canceled, it's just going to come back around to them again at some point. And I even talked about the fact that if you were paying $200 a month on student debt, it was quote unquote canceled. Now you're going to take that $200 a month and go give it to the same lending outfit that maybe you were paying the student loan on, maybe because you go buy a car or something. So I've never understood the sense of this from the very beginning, other than, I hate to say it, pandering to a certain coalition of voters that Biden thinks he needs. Just my opinion, but I'm not alone in that opinion. I'm not alone, that's for sure. And I'm not even alone from people who would consider themselves leftist in that opinion. Ooh, let me start to wrap up. This always goes longer than I think it's going to. I wanted to talk about a couple of other issues. This rezoning idea. Are you aware of the rezoning? Some say of affluent neighborhoods to allow for the building of low-income affordable housing in affluent neighborhoods? I don't like the sound of that. I don't like the sound of that. And right away when you say that, people say, oh, you must be racist. Of course I am, but not on this. Not on this. It don't have anything to do with race. I don't like it for a few reasons, but maybe we'll get into that next time. Let me just finish up with this How Stupid Are We episode by listening to this clip from Bill Maher's show on HBO. Listen to this.
So, all right. So what if Trump loses in November? What does MAGA Nation do? Okay. This is the problem. Is like, how do you represent this large part of the country that does not believe the election was legitimate? How do you say to people, you know, okay, we want to include you, but we can't deny that what you think is stupid because Trump lost. What you think is stupid, but we still want to include you.
Man, this is one of those times where I hope I can do a good job of explaining my point here. That was from Bill Maher's show from probably about 3 weeks ago that I heard that. And I said, oh, man, oh, boy, geez, I wish I was sitting there to answer the question, because I don't know that anyone that leans left or is anti-MAGA knows how to answer that question, which blows my mind that I think I do, but no one else seems to. They have this blind spot. Bill Maher, who I know is doing a comedy show and is saying stupid kind of tongue in cheek there, maybe, but even he has a blind spot where he assumes people want to be included and what he wants to include them in. I don't know how much clearer this can become to some people on the left. The people who support Donald Trump do not want to be included in what you want to include them in. So stop thinking that way. Stop thinking if you can just figure out how you can get them to stop supporting Donald Trump, you can let them back into the fold. They don't want to be let back in. Stop talking in terms of we must save democracy. Don't you people get it? We must save democracy. They're saying, what democracy? What democracy? We lost this democracy long ago. That's what they think. That's what's in their minds. You're trying to save something they think died a long time ago. So what's going to make it worse? It's already dead. Donald Trump's not going to make it worse. You have to start thinking in terms of what they think and what they understand. I mean, again, if you're actually asking that question in a serious way, which I think Bill Maher is, I think he wants to see people come back into the fold, quote unquote, and heal the country and unite the country better, the civil discourse, the political discourse get better. I think he wants that, and some people do, but then there are other people, they ask that question rhetorically. They really don't care if the Trump supporters ever come back into the fold. They don't care. They ask it, oh, how come they can? Why would they do this? How can they support? But they really don't want the answer. And so they just go, oh, they're stupid. There is no answer. They're stupid. That's a Morning Joe thing. He asked a question of himself and of the people sitting around his table on his morning show, but he never asked the people who could actually give him an answer. He just says, there is no answer. I've literally heard him say that on a show. Ask the question, why would people support Trump? And then go, there is no answer. There is no answer. How can you think that way? How can you expect to do anything to save this democracy if you're going to write off half the country? How can you do that if you're going to continue to say what you think is stupid? Let me ask a question. Let me ask a question of people who are in the comparison group. Being in the comparison group means being in the control group, being in the group that you can measure crazy against. You have to have normal people in order to recognize when we've gotten crazy. You have to have something to measure it against. So let me ask my comparison group people, why will the Biden campaign have literally hundreds of poll watchers all over the country on Election Day? Why will they have lawyers on standby, ready to watch for any violations of someone's right to vote on Election Day? Why will they have an army of volunteers standing by, ready to report anything that looks suspicious on Election Day? And those people will be trained beforehand to know what to look for. Why will they do all that? So that the election is not stolen from them. That's why the Biden campaign will do that. Not just the Trump campaign. The Biden campaign will do all that. So the election is not stolen from them, because they're not stupid. And they know in this country, even in the great US of A, an election can be stolen. We have to get to a place in this country where we can separate the thinking that an election was unfair or even stolen and the climbing up the walls of the Capitol to hang the vice president from your own party. We got to be able to separate those two groups of people and say, hey, we can work with this group, but we can't work with that group. We can't continue to lump them all into the same bucket and then go, how do we figure out how to get them back into the fold? You can't do that. You can't continue to call their thinking stupid. You can call the behavior, you can call violence, you can call the actions, the bullying, the intimidating, even hate speech. Even that you can call out and say that's wrong. But the thinking, the thought, if you continue to call them stupid for having a thought, we may as well just hang it up right now. Because Bill Maher asked the question, what does MAGA do if Trump loses in November? And if you listen to this podcast, you should know my answer. It depends on what non-MAGA does between now and November. How MAGA reacts to another loss by Donald Trump depends greatly on how Joe Biden and non-MAGA people act between now and November. It can go a couple of ways, and you know the bad way. You know the bad reaction. I can't believe I still have to have this discussion on this podcast, because it feels like I've been doing it for 3 years now, having the same discussion. I can't believe more people in the media haven't caught on to this. I really can't. I really can't believe more people haven't figured out how to answer this question about what do we do about MAGA? That we can't distinguish between someone having a thought and someone taking violent action because of the thought. We can't distinguish between the two. Even though I played clip after clip after clip after clip of people saying when Donald Trump won against Hillary, he wasn't a legitimate president. That election was rigged. It was rigged by Russia. He's not legitimate, even though I played clip after clip after clip of people trying to, quote unquote, overturn that election, influence electors to not put in Donald Trump's name. Even though I gave you the names of two long form documentaries done by people on the left after Hillary lost to Trump and after John Kerry lost to George Bush, they put out these two long form documentaries explaining how voting machines can be hacked. And in fact, had proof that they were hacked. Documentaries from the left. How could we still be having this argument that it's stupid in this country to be suspicious of the outcome of an election? How? I don't care if someone goes to their grave thinking the election was rigged and Trump won any more than I care if someone goes to their grave thinking Al Gore won, or Al Gore should have won, or John Kerry should have won, or Bernie would have won the primary against Hillary had he not been cheated. I don't care. I don't need to convince them that they're wrong about any of that. I need to convince people we need you. We need you. We need you to not go crazy because of your thought. We need you to not go off the deep end because of your thought. We need you to not take it too far. That's what I need to convince people of, because as much as you might not want to admit it, if you're an anti-MAGA person, we do need them. They are our military and our firefighters and our teachers and our nurses and our truck drivers and our friends. At least they were. At least they used to be, until we drew this line in the sand where no matter what, if you support Trump, I can't have anything to do with you. Now they're the enemy. They used to be your friend. Now they're the enemy. It's stupid. It's so stupid that we can't separate out the maniacs, because not every single person was climbing up the side of the Capitol on January 6th. Not every single person that voted for Trump. But people will say, yeah, but you know what? If they still support this man, they are just as guilty as the people who were climbing up the side of the Capitol on January 6th. They're just as guilty if they still support this man that has been accused and found liable for sexual assault. They're still just as guilty if they support this man that blah, 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 on and on and on and on and on and on. I know. It's tough. It is very difficult. I don't say no. It's very difficult. I have the same problem with discussions with my Trump supporting friends. Because when you say, how can you support the man that blah, 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 they, oh, you support Biden? Well, you know, God, kind of, I guess. You consider yourself a Democrat? Well, not really, but, you know, not a Republican either. Well, how can you support a party that supports murdering babies and crime and open borders? And you hate America if you're a Democrat. How can you support that? Now, do you like being associated with those things in that way because you're a Democrat? Of course not. Of course not. But that's what you might get back thrown in your face. And you can say, yeah, but none of those things are true. The stuff about Trump and his supporters, it's true. It happened. Okay. I give up. You win. If that's what you need. If that's what you need, you win. Let's just keep on telling them that they're stupid. Let's just keep on telling them everything they think is wrong. Let's just keep on telling them they're guilty by association. And every horrible thing that's been said or done in the last 10 years is all their fault, and they're destroying the country, and you'll never forgive them for it. Let's just keep doing that and see how it turns out. I'll keep my fingers crossed that it'll turn out well and we can have a democracy that way. Or, and just hear me out here, we could not start the conversation by saying, hey, stupid, and just start by saying, well, listen, let me start by saying what I agree with you on. Start there. You got to be able to find some agreement somewhere. You got to be able to find agreement somewhere. So start there. You know, basic common sense day one stuff in dealing with people. Like at work, when you do a performance review, do you bring the person in, sit them down and say, okay, here's everything you're doing wrong, and here's everything I don't like about you? No, you start by saying, look, here's the positives. Here's what you're getting right on the job. Here's what we've been happy with since you've been working here. Then you get into the constructive criticism and what needs to change or get better. Unless you want to fire the person. But I hate to break it to you, we can't fire half the country, and half the country ain't going to quit. So if we can't fire them and they ain't going to quit, Well, we're kind of stuck with one another. And if we don't find some sort of a civil, respectful truce between now and November, well, I don't know. If you keep telling me I'm stupid, I'll never admit I'm wrong, because then you'll be right and I'm stupid, and no one wants to be stupid. And so you'll just keep on calling me stupid, because I won't admit that I'm wrong. Because if I admit that I'm wrong, then you'll be right and I'll be stupid, and no one wants to think they're stupid. And so you'll just keep right on calling me stupid, because I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. Because if I admit that I'm wrong. And so there it goes. The loop just keeps playing over and over and over and over again until one of us snaps. It'll play over and over again until one of us snaps. People from both sides, people on the left and people on the right. I'm sure they'll disagree with some of what I said in this episode. And that's good. That's good, because I think it's far better to hear something you disagree with than something that makes you stupid. This show's like a workout for me sometimes. I get tired doing this show. Thank you for listening. I hope it wasn't a workout for you. Maybe you do work out when you listen. That would be good. That'd be good. As always, your investment in time is much appreciated. Much, much, much appreciated. Please don't forget that. It really is. It's Saturday. Your sharing and your following and your rating is also greatly appreciated. Please keep that up. Please keep going with that. I promise you, when you share, it does work. Even if people don't tell you that they listened, if you share it, a lot of people do listen. They just may not comment back to you about it. They don't comment to me. Why would they comment to you? So thank you, thank you, thank you. I may have a very special episode coming up for you soon. My first ever guest. Oh! That's right. I shouldn't even announce it. I shouldn't even announce it just in case it doesn't work out. But I'm trying to have a guest for the first time, and I think it will be good. I'm going to dance a little bit here. I think I'm going to dance. You want to see me dance? Watch this. Watch me go. Hang on. Let me go. Watch this move. Watch this move. I'm in a good mood. Has spring sprung yet? When's spring gonna sprung? Ooh, that's enough dancing. I'm worn out. Whew, took a lot out of me. That's it. Thank you for listening. I will see you next time.